And thanks for dropping by the podcast page. Full highlights, as promised, what happened this past weekend. A very eventful series against NC Greensboro that saw the baseball team drop 2 out of 3. A frustrating Friday 8-3 loss, a thrilling 6-5 Saturday win, and what looked like it was going to be a series victory on Sunday before the Spartans rallied late. It sent the Bulls to 11-8. As I noted on social media, the Bulls are playing a very strong schedule. 4 teams in the top 20 of the latest RPI, including a team that still hasn't lost, the Florida State Seminoles, who, if you missed it, are 18-0. They're number 4. UCF, who the Bulls took 1 of 3 from in Orlando a few weeks back, is 7th in the country. Indiana State, the team that the Bulls played the first weekend of the season, is ranked 15th. And then UConn, the first team they played, is ranked 19th. As a matter of fact, NC Greensboro jumped up already, the highest ranked team in the Southern Conference when the Bulls face them. Now they're up 40 spots to number 76, while the Bulls are at 74 this week. They're playing FGCU. We'll tell you a little bit about that game Tuesday night. We will be back on the air Wednesday night at home against Bethune-Cookman before conference play starts on Friday, again at home against Memphis. Well, Friday night was all about having chances and not taking advantage of them. The Bulls had the bases loaded in 4 different innings and lost 8-3. As a matter of fact, the only hit they had with not only the bases loaded but with runners in scoring position was an infield single by Jackson Mayo that tied it in the second inning. But really, the chance came in the first inning, and it unfortunately proved to be the tone setter. First of all, Hunter Mink looked strong at the beginning until the Spartans 3, 4, 5, and 6 hitters, all with 2 outs, singled and gave them the 2-0 lead. And clutch hitting eluded the Bulls, except for Saturday, too often on the weekend. In fact, the tone unfortunately was set in the first inning. After that 2-0 lead, the Bulls looked ready to answer right back. Drew Brutcher nearly homered, turned out to be a double off the top of the left field padding. Then Jackson Mayo and Rafael Betancourt walked, but this was the next AB, and it was the best hitter on the team, 421 at the time.
That is 7 straight balls delivered by Shuey, the starter. Bases loaded. That ball's lined to the right side. They're going to exchange 2 outs here for 1 run unless Montez can beat it out, and that's exactly what happens. That is an unproductive first run for the Bulls, as unproductive as it gets. Pull the ball hard on the ground, 2-0.
Bulls would get immediately the bases loaded in the next inning as Ben Rosenblum, for the first of 3 times, was hit by a pitch. Then with 2 outs, walks to Joaquin Moncay and Marcus Brodell, and that ushered in a new pitcher who gave up the tying hit but then got a fly out. So the Bulls left him loaded once again. You talk about stuff that doesn't show up in the box score. This time, 1st and 3rd, and sure looked like the Bulls were going to get the big hit thus far.
Moncay 0-1. Oh, man, he destroys that ball deep to left, but it looks like it's going to hold up for Jarman right on the edge of the track. That was very nearly 5-2 Bulls, but turns into the end of the 3rd inning.
The next 3 innings, Caleb Cozart, former North Carolina Tar Heel, who was a pitcher there, transferred to Greensboro last year, hit 6 home runs while also pitching, had only thrown 1 game this year while hitting 8 home runs, by the way, including a grand slam his 2nd of the day as beat the number 13 team in the country, NC State, 18-3. Earlier this season, they had beaten the, at the time, number 1 team in the country, Wake Forest. In other words, this is a good team, and he's been their 2-way guy, and he gave them a 2nd straight 3-inning performance, shutting out the Bulls and striking out 6. Meanwhile, 2 individuals on Greensboro had big-time days. G.C. Jarman, who came to town as their leader in batting average by 50 points, and Aiden Brewer, who is their shortstop, a guy that had double figures in home runs each of the last 3 years at the JUCO level. They both went for 4 hits, and their number 9 hitter, who was the nation's stolen base leader last year at the D2 level, he ended up with 4 RBI in the game. He came in with 3. It was both Brewer and Walsh with 2 RBI, 2 out hits, and again, the 2 out hits eluded the Bulls. They were just 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. They left 15 on, but those back-to-back 2 out, 2 RBI hits made it almost seem insurmountable at 8-2. However, one last frustrating situation with the bases loaded came after, in the previous inning, Jackson Mayo had struck out on a borderline pitch, and then again, the Spartans score 4 in the next half inning. The Bulls again load them up, get plunked with the bases loaded. This was with Cozart no longer pitching, And it sure looked like an interesting situation and potential big rally was unfolding when, dot, dot, dot.
Now the loosey-goosey Cole Robertson takes up one off the knee for the team. And it is 8-4. The third hit batter by Chapman. Are they going to review it on the other side, saying that Robertson didn't attempt to get out of the way of it? Your guy's not throwing strikes. And that would be a tough decision against the Bulls. So we're talking about 8-4, and the base is still loaded, and the tying run in, by the way, Drew Brutcher comes up. Or 8-3, inning over, and by all rights, game over. So the catcher, Mitchell Smith, if they get this overturned, deserves a big, big assist. Bench is reacting for Greensboro. They're thinking they're going to get this call, and this is just a tough call if they make it. And let's see. Here it comes. My goodness. Call goes in favor of NC Greensboro. Okay. Good job, Spartans and umpiring crew. Let me go to break.
Actually, during the break, and I put the video out on Friday night, I looked at the call, and ESPN Plus did a great job of slowing it down, and it was the right call. Robertson leaned that knee in into the strike zone, and so Greensboro gets the 8-3 win. But the frustration looked like it was going to be a quick memory as the Bulls on Saturday. Hunter Mink, by the way, went five innings, ended by striking out the side in the fifth, getting the Friday start. Jack Siebert was great. He went six innings for the victory. Bulls got an early lead. Even after, again, stranding the bases loaded in the first inning, things changed in the second. Here are the early portion of the games before it got a little testy at the end highlights.
Made it shorter than that. That ball is lined fair down the left field line. And Buffington turns the corner and will come up with his very first base hit in a Bulls uniform, and there was no doubt about that one. Here's the pitch. And tagged. How about that? A two-out hit for the Bulls. After going 1-for-10 in that scenario last night, Brutcher does not miss that off-speed pitch. And the Bulls, for the first time this series, have the lead. It is 1-0. And he will swing and miss at a off-speed pitch there. A beautiful pitch, maybe the best-looking one of the day for Jack Siebert. So, every single inning, the Spartans have gotten one runner on base, but none of them have come home. That's what you want from Siebert. Buffington just watched it. Think he thought it was going to finish high in the zone like a lot of those did to Puckett just now, but instead it's 0-2. And he wallops that ball into center field, and boy, not a great turn around third base, but Eric Snow must have gotten the scouting report on their center fielder, Walsh, because he could have easily been pegged there by a good throw and wasn't. Was not even close. So Matt Buffington, RBI single, and the Bulls double their lead. It's 2-0. He has had a great game. Let's go 4-5. That's a number for Jack Siebert. He has been tremendous for the Bulls here today. And that one is hit hard. Oh, a diving effort at first base by Rosenblum. And a 1-2-3 inning for the first time today, helped out by the defense in that case. Excellent job by the Bulls starting pitcher and his first baseman behind him right there. Five hitless games. Jackson Mayo takes that one pretty deep to right. Got a good chance. Off the scoreboard and gone. Jackson Mayo just missed one yesterday. There was no just missing that one. And again, the Bulls' change of approach. Why load up the bases and be frustrated when you just jump on the guy early in the inning is paying off today. And it's 3-0. Into the fifth, and of course, in the case of Siebert, it'll be beyond the fifth. There was nobody in the Bulls' pen. Boy, that ball is hit deep to right. The wind's blowing out that way. If it's fair, it's got a chance. It's gone! Eric Snow showing some oppo power, and back-to-back home runs from the Bulls make it 4-0. What a treat this is. A weekend of frustration for a bit, but finally the floodgates and the fun are opening. It is 4-0.
That was big, the four-run cushion, because Greensboro got two runs in the next inning. That Jarbin guy who left town well above 400, an RBI double. But Siebert limited the damage, and that seemed to be really good at the time and even better when the Bulls restored their cushion.
Is it or not? Oh, Brutcher gets into that ball, but it's a straightaway center. Walsh going back, and I mean deep, and didn't see it. He lost it. And Brutcher's hustling around. He's going to turn this into extra bases, a triple. And that was misplayed, but 100% crushed by Drew. And now Ben Rosenblum, who is a guy that you would love up there, no matter who the pitcher is, it is a new pitcher. It is Luke Thomas, and he starts him off with a slider called strike. Low in the zone. After Drew Brutcher's first career triple, Thomas a righty. And, boy, Rosenblum unloads into that one. Going deep to right field. That's got a chance. It's carrying. It's out of here. Ben Rosenblum pounds one with that win to right field. And what a big response by the Bulls. Two extra base hits. The misplay that turned into Drew Brutcher's first career triple turns into Ben Rosenblum's bomb. And the Bulls get the two runs right back and the four-run cushion right back. It is 6-2.
And what happened after that sort of set the stage for a fiery end of this game and end of the whole weekend. In this case, Kyle Scrape, in relief of Jack Siebert, came on and struck out the side, followed in the eighth inning by, after Chandler Dorsey gave up an RBI single, doing more of the same as the pen looked like they were locking things down.
Dangerous part of the order coming up, so you want to get Ogden if you can and keep it 6-2 would be great. Swung on a miss, strike three. Scrape is all yelling and screaming. Face red, it's already hot, but he was feeling it right there. So excellent get back there by the transfer lefty. So if you can just get Brewer out, you're okay still. Of course, Jarman's dancing around out there at second base. There you go. Chandler Dorsey, 95 miles an hour. Dance around that. Go down to the dugout. It's two away. 0-2, two home runner at second. Two outs. Bulls up 6-3, top eight. Swung on a miss, strike three. Chandler Dorsey dialing up the heat. Tanner Mink jumps out of the bullpen to greet Dorsey. We told you he has added a curveball to his arsenal, but he just reared back, and the Spartans could not beat the heat on a warm Saturday.
But the late inning ending strikeouts drama was not quite finished, because in the top of the ninth, a two-out single put two on. And then Trey Truitt, who was Mr. JUCO last year at Gaston College, his on-base percentage was around 600 because he went for 15 homers, 68 RBI, and walked 60 times. Dumped a two-out double for two RBI into vacated left field as they had the lefty shifted. So here it is, 6-5. He's on second, tying run. And here comes Caleb Cozart, who it looked like the Bulls were going to pitch around as Dorsey delivered three straight balls, none near the zone. But you realize that Jarman's on deck. So did they pitch to him or not? Well, he took all the way on 3-0, then fouled one off.
So the count is full. Two runs in for NC Greensboro, which was down 6-2. And with two two-out hits, has made it a nail-biter here. But the Bulls are one strike away from winning it at that. Full count pitch coming from Chandler Dorsey. Here it is. Swung and a miss, strike three. He went with the heater. And 95 miles an hour does the trick against one of the best sluggers in the country this season. Chandler Dorsey just says, I'm going to challenge you. And the Bulls win the challenge. I was just watching the replay, and their man out at second base, Truitt, was doing a lot of flexing, like, let's go, let's go. Yeah, let's go back to the dugout. Game over. Bulls win it by the score of 6-5, and the series is tied. What a wild one here today.
So you had two really evenly matched teams, and Sunday's game could have gone either way. Unfortunately, it went Greensboro's way. It was going the Bulls' way at the beginning. Not only was Bryce Archie doing great work in his first start in college baseball, obviously, but Greensboro was dealing with the Sunday sun not very well, and the Bulls were jumping ahead 3-0.
See if Archie can get the batter, and he does. Another heater. 94 mile an hour. Archie, as he's completing the follow through, sort of grabs the rim of his cap, and the catcher, Matt Buffington, rips the ball around the infield. When you have a guy that could just come out throwing heaters like that, you'll love to see it. Great to see John Montez back for the Bulls. Thought his injury might be a little bit more long term as he got hurt on Friday night. Oh, man. Guess he feels pretty good. Hits that one deep to right field. Wind is, oh, the right fielder lost it completely. I have no idea what happened to Trey Truitt out there. He was waiting for somebody else to make the catch, and he was the guy that needed to make it. So that'll go down as the bloop double of all time. First pitch is sailed high. And what is going on with the sun here today? Double number two for the Bulls. Do they not have sunshine in Greensboro, North Carolina? That ball was scaled high to left field, and I feel bad for the Truitt family right now. Andrew Brutcher is a guy that can eminently take advantage. Walked his first time up. He's had a big series, including a three-hit day yesterday. Surged to the top of the chart for the Bulls in batting average, and he'll just go ahead and lace that one. That can't be dropped because it dropped into the right side of the outfield. And it's an RBI single for Brutcher. But in the last four games, he's seen his batting average drop from 302 to below 260. And he gets underneath that one. That is going to do the trick. And maybe then some. Walsh going back to the alley and makes the catch. Everybody will advance. Easy second run comes in. And Rafael Betancourt with a scorch ball, the hardest hit ball by far of the inning, makes it 2-0 as Moncay comes home on the sac fly.
Jackson Mayo adds an RBI ground out, and the Bulls, frankly, a little bit fortunate, but took advantage. We're up 3-0, but Archie would get pulled after giving up a homer to Mr. Truitt and a full-count walk to Mr. Cozart. Lawson Gailey comes in, sack bunt, but gets the second out, and then the unlikely hero of this game would, well, start to gain that status.
I'm swung on a miss, buzzing walk to Archie's first time up. That ball is sailed pretty deep to right field, and that could be out of here. It is. Man, oh, man. That is a stunner and a tie game. Jacob Budzik.
First off, you could hear there were plenty of people that made the trip from Greensboro, and there actually was a youth baseball team that was all dressed in maroon. Looked like they were older kids, actually, but they were all cheering for Greensboro. So it was kind of a good environment, and Budzik, whose brother had just finished up a five-year career all in Greensboro and had 15 homers in his career, about a 280 hitter, solid player and all that, but Budzik himself did not have a hit last year as a freshman, and their Friday starter at second base was a guy that not too long ago was hitting above 300, Jeremy Wolf, and just so happened he had come to town slumping, saw his batting average dip to 185 with an 0-for-5 Friday, so they tried somebody else at second base Saturday, Cam Murphy. He didn't do anything, so let's give this Budzik kid a try. Yeah, his first career homer. But the Bulls actually had an answer in the very next half inning.
Archie had a punch out in store for him. Oh, Puckett wallops that ball left field. Brantley Truitt's going back on it, and it is off the top of the wall. Runner will come home easily in the former Montez. And Stuart Puckett, his second double of the weekend, gives the Bulls back the lead. He did not miss that one, and he just missed a home run. Barely.
Kid who is getting the looks in the offensive spot of Bobby Boeser and doing some good work, obviously, puts the Bulls back ahead. But it never felt safe, especially since they could not tack on. And give credit to their starting pitcher, Rob Reddy, who was actually their only preseason all-conference selection second team. He gave up those three runs in the third, but as you heard, had the bad luck. He was throwing well, and his pitch count was low, and he kept on going all the way into the eighth inning. Meanwhile, it looked like the Spartans were going to at least tie it in the sixth as Joey Vellini came on for Lawson Gailey, walked a man, that was it for him. Dominic Madonna comes in, error on Eric Snow, was trying to get a force out and maybe turn a double play quickly and bobble the ball. Sack bunt, second and third.
1-2 to Smith, pulls a string, and they have a play at the plate. Decent throw, almost bobbled at home by Buffington, but he gets it and makes the out. So Moncay knew where to go with that ball. Other runner has to stay at second, and there are two away. Hitter, Smith, a free pass to first base. But an easy exchange will make for the Bulls. Did he check his swing? I don't think he did. Let's check down to first base. Home plate umpire doesn't even let it go that way. So nice job there by Don Madonna. Also, second and third and one away. And in a series where it seems like the other team never fails to come up with anything with runners in scoring position, the Spartans do in a big spot there.
So he's throwing well, gets a 1-2-3 top of the seventh. Unfortunately, again, no tack on for the Bulls. No insurance runs in this game because they went down in order in the bottom half. Top half of the eighth, Madonna, strikeout, one pitch flyout, 0-2 to Cozart. Then the game kind of changed.
That's a curveball well outside. So, yeah, he didn't get a decision, but really was phenomenal in relief. Three innings. Six strikeouts to the Bulls on Friday night and never overreacted on any of those six strikeouts. And he also had a chance to win the game, and he just tied this game. And, well, he just gave it an old bat flip there. So much for him not showing any emotion. But he has just tied the game. And he will glide around the base pass. This is a guy who had 8 homers coming in, didn't have one this weekend, and smacked a grand slam last Tuesday against NC State to complete a 2-homer game. And he walloped a fastball that was right middle up. And Greensboro has tied this game at 4 apiece. All right, there's his emotion. As he is, he must have been bottled up all weekend long. I'm sitting here saying how he doesn't show any emotion. He flung the bat about 30 feet, and then like a bull charging into the dugout, took his helmet off, red-faced.
Now that I think about it, he did have the strikeout to end the game on Saturday, and this was his chance to do something at the plate for the first time really all weekend. He kind of did. Then they finally chase Rob Reddy with a Jackson Mayo deep double, but they can't score. And guess who came through for Greensboro on the top of the ninth?
This guy had never hit a career homer and had 2 hits all year long, both in one game. Walloped one to right field. They get carried out of here to the tie of the game. In his first action of the weekend, 2-2 as he takes a close one, and he gets underneath that one, and that could be out of here, and it's going to be. My goodness. Well, there's no argument. Jacob Budzik has the biggest swings in the weekend. I mean, he did not push that to right. He walloped it to left, and NC Greensboro has taken the lead 5-4. A no-doubter.
And just for good measure, they actually do get the thing that the Bulls never got, which was the insurance run, as Zachary Walsh doubles and comes home on a Brewer single. Then it got way too testy there in the bottom of the ninth. Of course, it's St. Paddy's Day, right? So you were thinking something could happen even after 2 were out, nobody on. Well, something happened, all right. The Bulls got a couple of hits, Joaquin Moncay and Drew Brutcher. So you're thinking, here comes Ben Rosenblum. Here's how the game ended, and here's what you heard on Bulls Unlimited but didn't see on ESPN Plus because they had ended the broadcast.
Thompson hits his 8th appearance, tied for the team lead now, 19 strikeouts to 5 walks. And Rosenblum way late on that fastball in the outside corner. First swing was much more competitive. Just like that, Thompson has regathered himself and is one pitch away from ending all the drama here. Here's the pitch, and there it is. Strike 3, called strike 3. And good job there by Thompson. Catcher, Mitchell Smith turns around and shakes the hand of the home plate umpire. And got to shake the hands of the opponent as they were very solid. Some positives, no doubt. Bryce Archie gave the Bulls an excellent start. Oh, let's keep it here because unfortunately you're seeing some bad stuff post-game handshake line. As one of the Bulls, and by the way, that Bull is being pulled out, and we'll give the players doing it credit. Matthew Buffington is removing one of his teammates from the handshake line about midway through, and Buffington being a really smart Bull right there. I think I see who the player is, but I don't want to identify him by name. Basically gave a little bit of a chest bump to one of the Greensboro players. And there is a little talking back and forth going on. One of the Bulls' assistant coaches is saying something to the home plate umpire.
And it got a little interesting because another couple minutes after that, we were still on the air, obviously, and both teams' players were still in the dugout, and the umpires went to the replay booth. And I thought, is something being protested? But turns out they had decided to review some possible discipline against the Bulls. It's funny because the booth over to my right is Jim Lauk for ESPN Plus on TV. They were actually showing the incident on their replay monitor, but it wasn't on the air. They were just showing what the umpires were looking at in the booth. That's how the monitor's set up. And we don't know if anything got handed down or overturned. We'll find out for you and tell you tomorrow on Bulls Beat if we do. We'll also tell you how the baseball team does tonight. They're playing FGCU. We will not be making the trip for that because, well, we don't have a place to put it on the air with NIT action and Lightning action on the strike, our second channel, 102.5. But Eagles just came off a sweep as they got into conference play themselves against Bellarmine. Now, Bellarmine is a 1-18 team. That improved the Eagles' record to 9-10 on the season. Got themselves into an 0-4 hole. They started off at Fort Worth. That's a tough place, and they were competitive games, but they lost them all and then got beat in Northport by Indiana State. However, took 2-3 against Bethune-Cookman and defeated Miami in Coral Gables. Now, pitching has been a little bit of an issue for them. They lost 2-3 against a pretty good Xavier team, top 50 in the computers. Lost 19-3 to Florida State. Then after beating Fairfield 19-5, dropped the next two games against an average Fairfield team, including 12-0 in the finale. They do have a man hitting .418 with 9 homers, though. That's Ian Farrow. And the Bulls, who have had no luck against FGCU, keeping them off the scoreboard, will look to do so on Tuesday. And we'll recap it for you on Bulls Beat on Wednesday. We'll also, of course, be back on the air Wednesday night for the Bulls against Bethune-Cookman at home. Also wanted to mention softball going to Tulsa, picking up a big win in the opener, 3-0, grabbing 2 runs right off the get-go. And the first home run of the season by Marissa Trivelpiece, it was the Golden Hurricane who were stranding runners in that game, getting shut out despite 7 hits. And Belle Sarge is the one that managed to dance around some trouble. 5 innings pitched, she did not walk anybody, which was good. And Peyton Dixon picked up save number 2, but unfortunately the Bulls lost the next 2 games, almost got no hit by Tulsa's Annika Anderson, who made the weekly honors, by the way, did get 1 hit in the 7th inning. Lost 3-0, still had a chance to get the series, but it was all Golden Hurricane, 6-2 on Sunday. RBI for the 2 Puerto Rico national players for the Bulls, Kathy Garcia Soto and Camille Ortiz Martinez. We told you Tulsa was a good team, and it proved out to be the case, but here's the thing. The RPI ratings have the Bulls still in the top 50, along with Tulsa, along with Charlotte, which is the other team the Bulls have already played and lost 2-3 to. So the opportunities are definitely there, not just for the Bulls to play some of the weaker teams. There's not a ton of weak ones, but some of them, and get that record looking better. Their overall record and their computer ranking is still really good at 22-11 and 44. So long story short, they still have a chance to make the NCAA tournament based on their schedule and not having to worry about winning the conference tournament. And that's a nod to the not just strong schedule that Ken Erickson put together, but the performance of his team against it. That'll wrap it up here on the podcast page. Thanks for dropping by this special version of Bulls Beat Baseball and Softball, summing up the weekend.